Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Brooklyn has acquired James Harden.
Oh.
My first reaction is shock, awe, and I'm pissed off.
I'm pissed off, Angelo.
Dribble, 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 dribble. Fat, fat, fat. Dribble, dribble, dribble.
I appreciate you guys.
Dale Arnold.
If you get Irving back, you have a 1-2-3. Perhaps unlike we've seen in this league in the modern era.
That's the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Rich Keefe.
Do you want to see the afterlife? I'll take you there.
Burn him!
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Mom's spaghetti, as Eminem would say.
And he would
right
say.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe. Sports Radio WEEI. Andy Hart, WEEI.com is with us. Just to put a bow on it, because I promised Rich I'd give you the details on how the playoffs are set up for this year in the National Hockey League. You know that they've got all new divisions. The Bruins are in what's called the East Division. Bruins, Buffalo, New Jersey, Islanders, Rangers, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Washington. Basically the Metro, and you bring the Sabres and the Bruins into it. They had to have an all-Canadian division, which they call the North. Because of travel, the travel restrictions between the U.S. and Canada, they can't come here. So it's all the Canadian teams are in the North Division. But what happens here in the playoffs and what they're going to do, the four teams, each of the divisions will have the top four teams will make the playoffs. First round of the playoffs, one will play four in the East, two will play three in the East. Second round of the playoffs, you're still in your division. The two winners of the first. So, in other words, the first two rounds of the playoffs is within your division, period. At the end of those two rounds, you have four division winners now that move on to the semifinals. They reseed everybody. One would play four. Two would play three. So, it used to be, the two Eastern Conference teams would play, and the two Western Conference teams would play.
So, basically, the Bruins could play the Canadiens in the Cup Final.
In the Stanley Cup Final, the Bruins could theoretically play the Montreal Canadiens.
This is also the Canada's best chance, probably, since, I guess, probably Vancouver or whatever, to win the whole thing, because there's only seven, not eight, Canadian teams. So, there's seven of them. Four of them are going to make the playoffs. Then they're going to play each other. One is guaranteed a spot in the semifinals.
Yep.
And so they're kind of getting gift-wrapped here a little bit. So basically, to Andy's point, if they're going to miss the playoffs, they need to finish fifth or worse in the East. And
right.
Even though the East is good, I don't think it happens. I think that they are one of those teams because as much as Bruins fans
are saying,
oh, man.
Buffalo.
I think those other teams are saying the same thing.
Rangers.
I think the Capitals and the Penguins and the Flyers are saying, oh, great, the Bruins are over here. So I think they get in, but it's definitely a tough division.
So that's the whole playoff format. Right. And the bottom line here is that you could theoretically play the Montreal Canadiens for a Stanley Cup, which would be off the freaking charts, or the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think Toronto or Vancouver are the two teams I'd be looking to come out of that North Division. And who knows?
It'd actually be kind of cool if they played Tampa for the Cup Final, a team that you've been losing to in the division these times, and now it could be the final.
Until they lose, then it's not cool.
Well, it's not so fun then.
All right, so let's go back and talk a little bit about the National Football League, and the playoffs continue this weekend. And we had an interesting theoretical mental exercise here. And what we've talked about in the past is redrafting the 2018 quarterback draft class. And you look at the names, the 2018 quarterback draft class, you've got Baker, Darnold, Allen, Rosen, Jackson, and Rudolph.
Yeah, five of them in the first round.
Yep.
And what's impressive is three of them are playing this weekend. You know, so year three, you have three of these quarterbacks all playing in the divisional round. One of them is a head-to-head matchup, so you're guaranteed a spot into the conference championship game. And sort of the wave of quarterbacks in the AFC, a big part of it was this draft class. And it's also, I think, an interesting exercise for, you know, as a Patriots fan, saying, all right, if you draft a quarterback, what are some of the outcomes? You know, by year three, you could be trying to contend for a Super Bowl, or you drafted Josh Rosen, and the guy's barely hanging on to a spot in the league, or you drafted Sam Darnold, and you're wondering how much of it is the coach, the coordinator, is it him, what's going on? But if you're going to redo this, and again, it was bookended, Baker was the first overall pick, Lamar Jackson was the 32nd and final pick of the first round. If you were to do it over again, I think Josh Allen's your top guy.
Yes.
I think Josh Allen would be the number one pick
and
of
by
this
the way,
draft.
I don't even think it's that close.
I don't really either, Dale.
No, it may
and
not
it's
be.
A yeah. it's a conclusion I think I've come to semi recently. I was a late arrival to the bandwagon for Josh Allen. Like, I still thought, you know, the bottom was going to fall out and the bad Allen was coming. And, you know,
it
how
might
many times
when his coach leaves after this year.
And I think that's a major challenge for his overall career. And we may talk about that in regards to another guy here as part of this group. But, you know, how many times in his career did Drew Bledsoe have, like, MVP numbers for the first eight games? And then all of a sudden it was like, wow, fall
right
off the map,
whoops,
interceptions, yeah, losing streak, all that. I always kind of had Josh Allen in that mold. And now it's like, well, that hasn't happened. He's in the second round of the playoffs. He's playing well. Like, at some point, you just have to give him credit for what he has become, not discount him for what he used to be, right? He's improved. That's on him. He's more accurate. He makes better decisions with the football, and he still has all the physical tools. And you even saw it, and I think you'll see it again this week and moving forward. He wasn't a runner this year. Remember last year and the year before, there were like crazy runs at times where he'd be like in the middle of the field, like John Elway helicoptering it.
He still gets hit, though. He still gets hit pretty good.
But he's doing it more now in the postseason. He's willing to run. And I think that's the point is he has that tool in his back pocket. But most of the year he said, no, I'm just a pocket passer. I have a new toy I can play with in Stephon Diggs. I got a nice slot receiver. I'm going to play the game, and then when I need to, then I can be the guy that still is big, tall, can break a tackle, can throw on the run. And he's a stunning athlete. Like, I don't think people realize what kind of some of the throws. He made a throw last
week.
One
thing, he's huge, too.
Right, he's
mouth
huge.
Of a man. Yeah.
But he's like Ben Roethlisberger's size, but more athletic. Right? He can do the...
Well,
there was
the
one
old
last
Ben
week,
Roethlisberger, not the current
right
one.
He rolled to the sideline, and he just flicks it, and you're like, oh, he's throwing that... Yeah. Oh, no, he's not throwing that away.
No.
That's a 20-yard completion on the sideline. He's fun to watch.
And I think an interesting player to sort of evaluate, too, because he was one of these guys, and you hear these stories all the time, one of these guys that had very few offers. Wyoming might have been his only 1A offer.
Yep.
It was like 1AA and that kind of thing, and went to Wyoming. So, all right, it's 1A, so it's a step... above certainly North Dakota State or where we've seen some of these other quarterbacks come from, but the defenses that he was facing weren't anything crazy. He has one really, really good year, but he was surrounded by some good players, and then he comes back to school and was not very good.
Right.
And you're like, all right. But I think based off of his athleticism, he ended up still being the 7th overall pick, and they threw him in there pretty much right away. His first year, I think he started 11 or 12 games, and so got some of the growing pains out of the way. His second year, he was better, but still like far away from what we're seeing now. Like, he has taken huge step forwards every year.
Yep.
Where it's funny, these other guys that we're talking about all over the map, Baker Mayfield had a great rookie year, not a great second year, and then rebounded a bit this year. Lamar Jackson was the MVP of the league his second year in the league. Then this year, you know, the overall numbers weren't as impressive as the year before. Allen's been the only one that has just consistently gotten better and better. His team's won more games. They've advanced further in the playoffs. His numbers are, I think it's almost twice as many touchdown passes each year. It's like 10, 20, and
but
close to 40.
If we did redraft the 2018 quarterback class,
yeah,
the game that's taking place probably in a snowstorm in Buffalo would involve two of the top three in that redraft.
Right.
I mean, you'd have Allen. We'd all have Allen one.
I'd have Allen number one.
I think I'd have Baker Mayfield two. And I'd have Lamar Jackson 3, right?
I think I probably would. Now, the thing that you know, Rich was going into sort of the incremental improvement. I think one thing in that comparison with Baker, who was the number one overall pick, maybe now he's our second quarterback off the board, is the focus, work ethic, dedication. I know I'm a victim of the narrative. I've never met Josh Allen. I've never watched him work out. But certainly the narrative is he was willing to do anything he had to do to be a better quarterback for Brian Daboll and the Buffalo Bills. Tear the motion down, work better on his accuracy. Nope, your hip's not right. This isn't right. Whereas sort of the MO for Baker Mayfield is comes in and has immediate success. What did he throw, like 20-something touchdown passes down the stretch of that rookie season?
I believe it was a rookie record until Herbert broke it, right? Yeah.
And then, you know, got the MO of he's in every commercial you see. He's the new Peyton Manning. He's never met a commercial offer that he could turn down. I don't know how hard he was working. It wasn't, but he was also anointed. He had a great rookie year, and then they built a super team, quote-unquote, around him. And it's like, boom, he's
expectations
here.
Expectations caved in on him.
Expectations were high. I don't know if the work ethic and the dedication and the focus and the want to were quite as high. So I want to give Josh Allen credit for that. But also, maybe Baker Mayfield learned. Maybe Baker Mayfield learned from year one to year two that, whoa, maybe I didn't invest what I thought I was investing or what I need to invest. Because I still think he's talented. I still think their ability I don't think he's as good as Josh Allen. Because I think Josh Allen, I'm starting to realize, he can do what he needs to do to be the quarterback. Whether it's run, read option, deep ball, his accuracy on short ball. I think Baker is, this will get the boys in the office pissed off, but like Baker's more like a Jimmy Garoppolo, where I think he's a good NFL quarterback, but does he have the run game he needs to then have the play action game?
I think he throws better than Garoppolo. He
probably does, but I don't think he's capable if you just pick him up and put him on any team and it'll be fine.
Oh, no. Mayfield, but hey, if he's married up with Stefanski for years to come, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
I think we're wildly in agreement with you, Andy. I don't know why we would disagree with that.
Yeah, I don't know why you would ever think.
Wild agreement from the statisticians.
We're not like honestly, Baker like, stands.
No, Shine doesn't like Baker.
We're all Stefanski guys back here.
Yeah, put Josh Rosen with that O-line, those running backs, that slew of tight ends and wide receivers, and Kevin Stefanski.
Rosen
He'd
would
still
be out of the league.
He'd be fine.
You never got to
would
see,
not be
okay,
fine.
We'll
Josh
save,
Rosen would not
we'll
be
save
fine.
The Rosen debate
You're a
for
boob.
Another day.
I'm not talking about Josh
not
Rosen.
Today. Taylor Heineke
he would go
would
undrafted.
A...
In the redraft, he would go undrafted.
Taylor no Heineke
would he
be
go
a
below
stud
Danny Etling, though?
In that offense.
I like Danny Etling. I would go with him just ahead of him. Or Rudolph. I also think it's just, I know we're talking about the quarterbacks, but when you're also talking about how important the upcoming draft is for the Patriots, they're in this rebuild mode, and you go back to 2018, the Baltimore Ravens, who, again, weren't picking super, super high, they were able to walk away with Lamar Jackson, so their franchise quarterback, Orlando Brown, a franchise tackle in the third round, and Mark Andrews, a tight end that is really good in the third round. The Buffalo Bills, much higher draft picks, but they took Josh Allen and Tremaine Edmonds with their first two picks in the first round. Like, okay, so if you're hitting on guys like that, you already see the impact that they have 2-3 years into the league, and that completely alters your franchise.
Yeah, and Lamar is still, to me, he's the toughest read.
He for sure
like, he's
is
a great athlete. I'm sorry, you watched that run
he's
last
Michael
week.
Michael Vick for me. I thought Michael Vick was the best running back in the National Football
League.
Yeah,
but
unfortunately,
the passing numbers
they asked
are
him
better
to throw once in a while.
Yeah, but the passing numbers are still better than Vick. Like, you go
no,
back,
I know.
Maybe that was the league 15 years ago. But
no,
Michael
some of that
Vick,
was Vick.
Some of it
some
was
of that
Vick,
was Vick
was
throwing
Vick
it at the toes of people and just having
and throwing
an absolute
it 50
cannon
yards past somebody.
Right.
Like
he couldn't control the cannon.
That Lamar had last year, Vic never had anything like it,
no,
passing wise.
But he always will have that run he had last week where every person on the field got caught off guard. I think it was Kevin Byard, the safety, that was like, like he had him lined up.
Well,
this is my job.
And
he's gone. And he has that. But I still think long term, for his career, the improvement in the passing game and the accuracy and the ability to be more of a traditional passer, they're built for him with the tight ends. They're built for him with the Greg Roman offense and the running backs.
Yeah, all those running backs, yeah.
What happens when he loses a step? What happens if he can't run quite as well? You know, we saw Cam Newton. Cam Newton can still run, but he's not a dynamic, dangerous weapon as a runner. He's not the quality of runner that he once was. He's not the quarterback he once was. Could Lamar Jackson go down that road? I don't know. Probably, but give him the benefit of the doubt. I also, just quick aside, I have found him more and more likable every time I see him speak, every time I see him do anything.
Who, Lamar? Oh, yeah, Lamar's
yeah
great.
No, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So genuine. I even like, nope, I don't like snow, never played in snow, don't want to play in snow. Like, the honesty and the genuine, you know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, I think, you know, my What Else You Got, when he was saying why he calls people Mr. and Mrs. and, you know, he's trying to be respectful.
And the respect. And...
He's so genuine. Right. He's so genuine. And now he's not for everybody, maybe. Like, he's probably a little, I don't know, he's young. He's what we, I guess what we talked about earlier. He's got his whole line of apparel, and he's...
Yeah, but I think what's going to happen, too, I think what's going to happen is there's a chance that in the game on Sunday, you know, they are down by 7 to 10 points in the second half, and they need to make some throws, and he's not going to be able to do it. That's right.
We'll see. Well, this guy's got to step up, too. If he hits Mark Andrews in the hands, catch it. If he hits, you know, Hollywood Brown, catch it. You know, be open. Be a first-round wide receiver. Be the best wide receiver on the field, because you were drafted to be that. You were drafted higher than I was. They liked you as a receiver more than they liked me as a quarterback. So some of that falls on the people around him, too.
Coming up in just a couple of minutes, the take that needs a 180. And here's the beauty of this, Rich. This is the biggest crossover event of things that will tick off Andy Hart maybe ever. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Dale and Keefe with Hart, and it's time to trend.
More of Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart on WEEI.
Alright, it's time for this week's Take That Needs a 180, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Almost 50% of Americans choose losing weight at their new year as their New Year's resolution. Doesn't change. Stop the cycle. Awaken180weightloss.com. So we're fairly certain Andy's just going to hate every minute of this, which is why we're doing it.
Poke the bear.
So, Pro Football Focus, and we know how much you like their analytical take on things. You know, and as we say, sometimes when they give us something that we agree with, we like it. When they say something we don't agree with, we don't like it. So they've come out with their list of wide receivers in the National Football League. Top 25 wide receivers in the National Football League, and the Patriots have one of them.
Top 25?
Top 25 in the league.
Wow.
Checking in at number 25, Pro Football Focus has Jacoby Myers.
So that seems high. And before
does it?
It seems high to me. And before Andy loses his mind, we had brought up Jacoby Myers earlier in the year, and I forget where I put him. And I
eventually we put him in the 50s, Keith.
50s. And I eventually got talked down to probably lower than that. But I thought, so I was very optimistic by saying 50-something.
Yes.
Pro Football Focus, which has like a stat-based formula to determine this, says he is 25. Now, this is the NFL, right? Not the AFC East?
No. It's a valid question on your part.
Just to clarify, this is the entire league. Every wide receiver is eligible for this prize?
I'll just give you the top five to give you an idea.
Good idea.
Number one, Davante Adams, Green Bay Packers.
Make
that argument.
Yep, no argument.
Yep, sure.
Number two, Justin Jefferson, Minnesota Vikings.
Unbelievable year. Two Pro Bowlers right out of the chute. Got it.
Number three, A.J. Brown, Tennessee Titans.
I'm a little surprised he's that high, but he also made the Pro Bowl. Okay.
Number four, Stephon Diggs, Buffalo Bills.
I was waiting for him. Yep. Okay. Yep. Makes sense.
Number five, Allen Robinson, Chicago Bears. So you see the top five and you say, all right, this is not, it's not, oh my
They're
God,
real
this
receivers.
Is, this is
those
silly.
Are, those are some guys.
They're number one.
So to be fair, can we just also read this disclaimer? Disclaimer. Please note that just because player X is ahead of player Y does not mean we would take player X over player Y if we were building a team.
So what the hell does the list mean, you jackasses?
Why are we doing it?
This is why I hate them.
They're grading players on how they performed. That's what they're doing.
What does that even mean?
So they're drawing a line between performance and production. They aren't necessarily taking into account stats. It's things like, you know, like Allen Robinson's so high because he always runs the right route and everybody knows he's good just because the ball sails 20 yards over his head.
And he catches everything he should catch.
How do they know what the route is?
Right.
They don't.
Are they all-22. That's how.
No, the all-22 doesn't mean they know the route.
That doesn't, it probably doesn't tell you the route.
I don't know.
And the Bears run the route. And how
they
Tom Brady wants the route run. They are boobs, and that drives me.
Wait, let me push you further.
Wait, you wanted me angry. I get angry. You tell me to stop already.
The president was impeached.
I'm going to make you angrier.
Okay, go ahead.
When I read to you what they say about Jacoby Myers. You ready for this?
Sure. Give it to me.
Myers was sneakily one of the most productive wide receivers in the league, despite putting up a goose egg in the touchdown column.
Yeah,
he didn't score a touchdown.
Because Josh McDaniels did nothing but run the football in the red zone.
Shime, he didn't score a touchdown. He can't be the 25th.
Because they didn't throw in the red zone.
25th.
You, can't
you don't
be
have to score
best.
In the red zone. You can score from anywhere on the field when you're a receiver. You can catch it
you
10
guys
yards
are
away,
so
20 yards
old.
Away.
It's not
you
even
You are
funny.
So old. Diggs, and you're so far up PFS group's butt that you don't even know it.
Yeah. I
you
am think not at all.
This is
not
a 32-team league, correct? No, no, no. Can we talk about this really? It's a 32-team league.
So he's better than some wide receivers for an entire team.
He graded better. He wouldn't
he's
be drafted before. He wouldn't be taken
what are we
before
doing
other people.
What are we doing?
He
you
is
need
graded
to redo
better.
How you come up with your grade right. then if he equals 25.
Your grade
25.
Is stupid.
Yeah. Andy Hart mentioned this a while ago, and Andy Hart's right. Andy Hart came up with his own. He wanted to have his own formula. He thought that he'd get ahead of the curve here. He'd do his own formula. You did for defensive players, right, Andy?
Yep.
And J.J. Watt ranked like 30th, and he said, you know what? I got to redo the formula.
You know what? Formula's probably accurate.
No, not this
no,
season.
It wasn't.
Back when he
it
was
wasn't.
The defensive player
this was
of the
back
year.
When he
as
was
long as Aaron Donald's number
point.
One on your list, you're fine.
No, no, no. That's not what I'm talking about. Not this season.
So the good news is, though, here, if you're a Patriots fan, that you don't need to go get a receiver. You
no,
have
you're
also receiver,
not a need.
Right?
Not a
right?
need. And if you got one of the best.
Oh my just because you have one doesn't mean you have three.
And God forbid you go get a good receiver. Now you're like a super team. You got two of the best receivers in football for whoever the quarterback is because you got Jacoby Myers. Like, can we look at this just logically, realistically? Yes. I have said this a million times. I love Jacoby Myers, and I think he's a really good three. If he's
I think he's a three.
You go three receivers deep, that's 96 receivers. I'll put him at the top end of that last group of 32, right? Yeah. Somewhere in that last group of 32. I love it.
So somewhere around 65, 70 maybe?
69. Sure.
He's the 69th best receiver.
Sure, Gronk loves it. Gronk loves where you slotted him there. But 25th, and I know there's all these like, oh, he didn't really have a quarterback, and apparently the offensive coordinator's terrible according to Scheim, and all these various things. The reality is, he is what he is, and we don't have to make it more than it is.
Yeah.
He had a really nice breakout second half of the season. I also get back to the dummy, Bill Belichick, didn't want to play him. That's how good he is. The dummy didn't want – Bill's dumb, right?
Oh,
he has Pro Football Focus and Scheim and all these people.
Somebody on the show already tell us, or we had audio of somebody saying that sometimes players just get buried on the depth chart because they draft guys higher and they feel the necessity to start them over the guys that are undrafted or drafted far later.
That was Keyshawn yesterday.
Thank you.
Keyshawn.
Yeah.
But either way, and I know these stats are –
they invested
in Demir
Bird. They signed him in free agency.
Oh, my God. He was a marquee.
More expensive than Jacoby Myers.
Did they give me $80 or $100 million? I forget. I forget what happened last spring. How much did the signing bonus? Was that like $50 or $60 million?
Here's where Jacoby Myers ranked in the league this year in, I know these are old man stats, but play along with us, you young pups.
Touchdowns?
Catches, receptions.
Do touchdowns first, though.
For a wide receiver.
How do you rank a guy with zero?
touchdowns tied for dead last.
Fairly far down the list,
I was tied for dead last, too.
Well, it says tied for 146th, so I think that means 145 people caught touchdowns this year. That's my guess.
No idea.
He was tied for 50th in receptions with 59. He was 49th in yards at 729. Yards per catch, if you want to use that, he was tied.
He also played 58. An offense that didn't throw the football like nearly enough.
Do you think he has
breakaway
speed?
If he played with Aaron Rodgers, you think those numbers would be a little higher? Probably.
Not really.
No, because I don't think he'd be the go-to
guy. He'd
be
throwing to Adams the whole
Devontae
time.
Adams.
I'm just saying, if Aaron Rodgers was in this offense, he would have thrown the ball
like
a lot
he's like the number
more.
One receiver, though, Scheim. You got to factor that in.
He was the go-to guy for the second half of the season.
I understand that. For the second half of the season, he was.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
So he basically only got, three quarters of a season worth of production, and he received for 729 yards? I'd say it's pretty good.
So you don't believe in the theory that somebody is going to catch passes and somebody's going to have yards, right?
Yeah,
you don't
somebody
believe,
is going
like,
to.
The Rishay Caldwell
well.
Year.
So, Scheim, he had 81 targets this year.
Yep.
Where would that rank on the Packers, you think?
Second.
81. Yeah, second. Only Devontae Adams got more
than 81
targets. I understand.
I'm saying if you had a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers in this offense, Jacoby Myers would have had exponentially better numbers.
I'm going to say if you had a real receiver or a real tight end, he would be exponentially more buried on the depth chart because talent still matters in the National Football League. I love him. He is what he is. He's a good, solid player. He's a great story.
So you guys throw stats at me and tell me he didn't have good enough stats. But then when I say if he had a better quarterback, he would have had better stats.
You just threw a hypothetical at us.
You're making stuff up. We don't know what he'd have.
Because you had Cam Newton at quarterback.
No, I know. Cam Newton stunk. There's no doubt about it.
Shime, yes. we can only argue stats. We can't argue what
I understand.
Might
so
have
you
happened.
Have to take into consideration that a guy who did not throw the football for very many yards had a receiver receive for 730 of them and did it in an efficient manner. Like, you have to understand that there's multiple nuances to every which way you can evaluate a receiver.
But if you're
not just a guy that looks fast and can catch a football.
Dale, do you have the whole list in front of you by chance, or no? Because I'm curious what receivers were, like, just after him. Like,
only goes to 25.
They only give you
the... It only goes to 25.
Oh, he just made
okay.
the cut. He snuck in he there. Just,
that's
but
insane.
But what I will do is I can give you the ones just ahead of him.
Okay.
So he was at 25. He's at the bottom of this list, okay? Number 24 is DJ Moore, Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
Number 23, Sterling Shepard, New York Giants. You'll love this one. Number 22, Chris Godwin, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, he didn't have a very good year.
No. Number 21, Brandon Ayuk, 49ers. 20, Cooper Kupp, Chargers. 19, Brandon Cooks, Texans. 18, DK Metcalf, Seahawks. 17, Tyreek Hill.
Oh, that's pretty low.
So take a guy like Brandon Cooks, for example, right? He played with the quarterback that probably played the best football out of anybody in the second half of the season. And the reason he's so high up on the list is because he caught a ton of passes from a quarterback that was really good. Whereas Jacoby Myers is on the list with a quarterback that was bad.
Well, neither one of them should be in the top 25.
But they are. That's
but they, but my point is they shouldn't
so the
be.
List
They're on
is
this
stupid.
List. Neither one of those guys are a top 25 NFL wide receiver.
And can I ask a simple question? So you went through, he ranked 50th in this and 49th in that and 50th. And a site that is built on statistics and numbers.
Efficiency numbers. Not your old man, just look at a box
score. Does this
score
have
numbers.
Anything to do with yards over expected receptions or whatever the hell you people like to use?
Probably, yeah.
Big one they like to use, Andy, is yards per route run, which they try to basically equate it to be the wide receiver version of yards per attempt for a quarterback, eighth in the league.
That's pretty good.
So it's not an important stat, I just found out. You just told me that stat's stupid.
What they said was 2.24 yards per route run, 10th at the position.
Okay.
Second among second-year wide receivers behind only A.J. Brown.
But, like, I don't know. If we're going to, like, make up stats, I'd be like, all right, well, how many times did a defensive coordinator care that he was on the field?
Right.
Zero times.
How many times did he make game-changing plays?
Zero
with his
times.
Hands.
How many
he
times
made more
did
big plays with his arm than he did with his hands?
What is any of that based on?
What is any of this based on?
You guys can give hypotheticals, but Shime can't.
No, but Shime was. We're just saying, then you guys came up with some yards per like expected throw. I'm like, what?
Yards per route run. It's a very common stat.
But shouldn't that be? But wait a minute.
But
time out.
But
even
if that stat
leads to
Jacoby Myers being one of the best, then toss it out. Then, like, that's a stat.
It's not
that,
but that's just because it supports your argument. It's a legitimate stat, and he's good at it. And then you guys just throw it out. Nah, that doesn't support my argument. I'm just going to throw it out.
But
no, I don't think
that
it would support anybody's
yards.
Argument.
If you're a really good receiver, shouldn't you be on the field most of the time?
Yes.
So you should run a route a lot of the time?
Yes.
Right? So you're kind of just comparing yards.
No, because every time he runs a route, this is what it's saying. When he catches the football compared to how many times he runs a route, he's getting a certain amount of yardage. Okay? So a guy who's getting
What?
No, I don't know.
So a guy who's getting 100 catches but only receives for 500 yards, his efficiency numbers aren't very high.
Yeah,
that
wouldn't exist.
I'm now going to quote Rusty from Christmas Vacation. Woo, look at the time. We got to go to the break. Dale and Keith with Hart. What else you got coming up next? Sports Radio, WEEI. All right, let's get to a couple of things we might have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Andy wearing the dress mesh shorts.
Yes. I only showed them once by accident. Good thing I had pants on, though.
Oh,
ugly.
Smokes.
Could have been a whole different day. Big word, big news out of Alabama. Obviously, the Steve Sarkisian era moved on. He moved on to Texas, where he apparently
has
now.
Did you see, by the way, he lured the special teams coach away from Alabama?
Unreal. Special teams coaches now make $1 million.
Special teams coach from Alabama goes to Texas for $1 million.
A million. In this era of college sports and programs are cutting sports and can't make money.
Crazy.
Used to be just called organized chaos, right? You kind of told 11 guys
now
sort
it's
of
organized
what to do.
Crime.
Yeah, that's a good line, Dale. Nailed the hell out of that. Well done.
Appreciate you.
But Nick Saban is, as he so often does, filling that job, that offensive coordinator job, with a high-profile guy. Our guy, Billy O'Brien, not out of work very long. Obviously a former Patriots offensive coordinator, Penn State coach, most recently tore down the Texans and left them in shambles.
Yeah.
But he can call offensive plays. He's also volatile, and I am very much excited to see him work with Nick Saban on the same sideline. If you don't remember how volatile Bill O'Brien is, let's get a little sample.
Speed this up. We're walking around out here. We're walking back to the huddle. We walk to the line of scrimmage. It looks like speed the
let's go.
Get the call in. Speed the up.
Let's go,
I'm tired of watching this. Slow.
And the other thing is he has a short fuse and he doesn't ignore anything. Remember the famous sideline battle with Tom Brady, and it's like, right. Whoa, what's going on? Billy O'Brien going at Tom Brady. Nick Saban will yell at him. Nick Saban will throw a headset at some point, especially since, by the way, they're coming off maybe their best season offensively in history. And
oh, yeah.
So
and there's
you lose
a lot
Mac
of turnover.
Jones, you lose two receivers. Billy O'Brien,
everybody.
Good luck, and I will be watching, and I will be entertained by the explosion that will be in Tuscaloosa.
What else you got?
Rich.
Well, good news for baseball card collectors. Apparently, ooh, they still are worth something. If you have
more greatest, than ever.
If you have the greatest cards of all time, a Mickey Mantle 1952 Topps card, which I don't know if you have, Andy.
Nope.
Just sold for a record $5.2 million.
I heard this described as one of the top 10 cards of all time. I don't know how
it,
you
it must
determine
be. Now,
that. But.
What was interesting, I always thought the most important cards were the old cards, but apparently
the Honus Wagner. The old Honus Wagner was always the...
Which Wayne Gretzky owned at one
time. Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
funny. Yeah, there's a lot of famous guys who collect these things. And Mike Trout, apparently. There was a Mike Trout rookie card that was there was only one of them made. Which kind of is cheating, I feel like. It was a one-of-one.
Yeah,
it sold
cheating.
In August for $3.94 million. So the Mickey Mantle one ended up breaking the record. And I guess the guy who has it also has a 1916 Sporting News Babe Ruth rookie, a 1917 Collins McCarthy Joe Jackson,
wow,
and several Michael Jordan rookies. Because you remember, they did make, I even have one somewhere, a Michael Jordan baseball card.
Yep.
When
yep.
he was in the minors, they made a bunch of those, and those are actually pretty valuable. But
yeah, this is blowing up. This
it is.
Know,
it's
have been,
back.
Stock market has been blowing
yeah.
up, and Bitcoin
cards
are actually increasing at a greater rate than almost anything. Now, when the bubble bursts, I have no idea.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
yeah.
advise people to go, you know, mortgage
no.
your house and buy a card or anything, but the market
I love
is
it,
crazy.
Yeah.
I do, too.
What else you got?
Yesterday was the start of the National Hockey League season. You might not have noticed because the biggest trade in recent memory in the NBA was taking place and the president was being indicted for a record-setting second time. But there was a hockey tripleheader. First game was Philadelphia against Pittsburgh. And what the NHL did was they let referee Kelly Sutherland welcome you to the new season.
Gentlemen, we've all waited with excitement for this day. Welcome to the start of the NHL 2021 season. Best wishes to all of you. Stay safe, stay healthy. Let's have a great battle.
Away we go, Sidney Crosby and
like,
Sean Couturier.
It's like Milt's Lane. Let's get it on. I mean, that was the only thing that was.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on.
So I guess we're going to let referees now welcome fans to the start
why
of
not?
Games.
Better than Gary Bettman.
That's a good point. All right, we got to get out of here. Andy, we'll see you next week.
Rich, yes.
We'll be back tomorrow. Andrew Raycroft is going to join us tomorrow, help break down what we saw today. And, of course, the playmaker Michael Irvin will join us as well. OMF is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
See ya.
Dribble, 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 fat, 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 dribble, 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 no defense, no defense, new defense, shoot, oh, a foul's called, he's going to the line.
That's all, folks.